This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
The Mariners are not what they're supposed to be, at least so far in spring training, right? They're supposed to be the best pitching team around, and they're not supposed to be able to hit the ball. That's the way they've been for, I don't know, what feels like years. Well, take a look at the Cactus League numbers, and the Mariners are leading the league in runs scored, but also in runs given up. What? What's going on with this team, and how important is any of this? Is any of it meaningful? Any of it at all? Brock, good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Yes, very hard to figure out. Eight days. It's kind of like Major League Baseball season opening in Korea in the first game of the season over as we kind of crack the show this morning. As the Dodgers win and beat the Padres over there, kind of makes sense.
A lot of people making fun of that. Like, oh, baseball's stupid. They open at 6 a.m. Like, I mean, they don't like open. Two teams do it, and it's a fun thing to expand the game. And because of things like that, you end up getting more talent into the game of baseball. Shut up, everybody.
Whoa.
That negativity dump on baseball whenever you get a chance. Like, I just think it's so dumb. Remember when the Mariners played in Japan? It was awesome. It was fun. It was unique. It was cool. It was only two games. Yeah. It's not like they play every game at 6 a.m. Like, oh my gosh, get over yourself. It's cool and it's exciting and it's different. And the fact that they're willing to take a chance and do that, I think, should be celebrated.
I'm glad I didn't have a hot take on that.
Gosh.
Yelled at me at 7 in the morning.
I absolutely would have. I've seen a bunch of people online complaining about it, and I just think it's like the height of stupidity. Like, come on. It's a fun thing, and it's two of, like, you know, however many tens of thousands of games Major League Baseball plays every year.
And can
year.
We give, you know, a little tip of the cap? It was Korea that was playing the only professional sports that was on TV during COVID.
It's true.
Loud. It's the least we can do is go play a couple games over there and let the folks in Seoul enjoy.
I think it's great.
That.
I would love to go to Seoul, by the way. It's on the list of places I'd really
can't,
like to go.
I can't make sense of this stuff. I know, like, when we play golf down here in Arizona, it sure feels nice.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Big Bro played down in the desert and shot like an 84 somehow, some way. Not against me, of course. He would never do that. But he's like, man, it is just so warm, so nice,
yeah, the
so
ball,
comfortable.
The ball carries two clubs farther.
Ball carries a little further down here. And I don't think it's, you know, really any different for these guys, especially as they prepare for heading to Chicago and Minnesota and Seattle and some of the, you know, places up north that are a little chilly in April and May to begin the season. So what do you make of it? I think we say this every single March. Mm-hmm. I think I have for 15 years. Well, it beats the alternative. It beats the alternative of them not hitting. It beats the alternative of them really struggling, you know, collectively. And if, you know, you feel good and Mitch Haniger is on absolute fire, as is just about everybody else in this lineup, I mean, don't you want to feel good going into a season?
Well, I think you'd rather feel good than bad, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, there's no downside here.
You'd rather
certainly
be Mitch Haniger or Luke Rayleigh.
Right, exactly. Well, watch. Luke Rayleigh will end up having, you know, 35 home runs, greatest year of his life, and Mitch Haniger will have, like, two. I mean, like, you just let's say that this conversation has a caveat that we don't know, but there's still 8 days to go before they actually start and it starts to matter. So we're doing our best to try to figure it out and determine if any of it does matter with a huge, huge asterisk, which is that maybe none of this matters at all. I think what we would say is the best news to the naked eye is that a lot of the runs they've scored have come primarily from major leaguers.
Correct. Whereas the innings of,
that's right. I mean, like, the guys that are going to be on this team, we know what this team looks like from a position player standpoint, 100%. We know everybody who's on this team. They're all hitting the ball, other than Luke Rayleigh, who's now finally started to come around with a few hits recently, but they're all hitting. Ty France, maybe the other guy that maybe you'll...
Yeah, he's come around.
He's come around a little bit, but that's like another, just a little watch. Like, hey, what's going on with Ty? Changed his body. Can he still hit? But gosh, Cal Raleigh's crushing the ball. Mitch Haniger's crushing the ball. Julio's crushing the ball.
Polanco
has two doubles, it seems like, every day. Canzone with a home run. Like, they're hitting the heck out of the ball, and those are guys that are actually going to be playing. On the other hand, the pitchers who have been giving it up, it's not been Luis Castillo. It's not been Andrés Muñoz. It's not been George Kirby for the most part. Gilbert's had a couple of, you know, back and forth. But, you know, when they have, it's sort of easy to say, well, he was doing this, he was doing that. But we don't really know when the other pitchers are doing that, right? Like, do we know that those Haniger home runs have come when another pitcher is like, eh, just kind of working on my four-seamer today? Mm-hmm. Like, we just don't know.
Mm-hmm. We don't. Now, you do know, and they know, the quality of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think as you listen to Scott over these years and you listen to him this month, it's not necessarily the results. It's, man, you know, Logan's stuff was as good as it's been. Bryce's stuff was as good as it's been. Woo's fastball is as good as it's been. Like, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for these guys to sharpen up and for their stuff to be at a place that the eyes and the evaluators and those that really know it want it to be. Same thing with probably the quality of swings. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little easier, I think, metrically to see and to measure the break, and we got all that next level stats with these guys and their pitching.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's harder to measure a quality swing or the velocity of a swing or, you know, what they're doing in that regard. But the stuff sure appears pretty good, especially with your main weapons in the rotation. And then, as I said, just confidence-wise, whether it's 14-year-olds or 24-year-olds or 34-year-olds, mm-hmm. you know, the confidence is up in that box and feel, man, I feel good right now. I'm seeing this ball, and I'm kind of excited and can't, you know, wait to get this thing, get this party started. I'm not looking up at that board going, oh, boy,
yeah,
I'm hitting 041. I really need to find a hit here. I really need to put this ball in play. It's been quite the inverse with the majority of these hitters.
Yeah, so I think for the most part, it's been a good thing. It hasn't been all home runs. Yes, they've hit some home runs because the ball does fly out of the ballparks down there, but it's been a lot of doubles. It's been a lot of rocket shots past diving players. Like, they've hit the ball hard, which is not just Arizona related. That's a good thing.
Yep.
You know, on the other side, the pitching part, like, well, okay, the depth has been mm-hmm. not great, but that's mm-hmm. actually kind of a concern mm-hmm. because it's one of the question marks about this team is, do they have enough pitching depth? We know they've got the top end pitching. Do they have enough pitching depth? Well, I don't know the answer to that right now. Brash hurt, Santos hurt. Neither of those guys so far is going to be ready for opening day. Coar's done for the season, another guy that you mm-hmm. thought probably would project into your bullpen. Mm-hmm. So now you're taking three guys out of an eight-person pen to start the year. Well, that's a challenge, right? When pitching depth, and I don't know whether Sacedo is going to be, you know, have the same year he did last year. Trent Thornton is one of the givens in your pen. He was good, not great last year. Austin Voth, Spire, we don't know anything about. Spire, I think I'm kind of in the, I start to trust him. He's done it for, you know, a few years now, but mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, look, it's, there's huge question marks there. Yep. So I honestly don't know what to read into it other than to say there's no bad news. I guess I take it all with a grain of salt, but I'm pretty darn happy with what they're doing.
Yeah, and most importantly, and what did we say to begin spring training? Those if healthy guys, the Mitches, the Jorges, the, you know, Luis, all of them, if healthy, these guys can be productive. And I don't think we necessarily included Brash on that. And Santos, we learned just as he was kind of getting mm-hmm. traded that maybe he had a little bit of an issue. But for the, you know, for the main part and the majority of whom you're counting on, those guys also have had a very clean and healthy march here and just feel and sure look like they're ready to go, man.
Yeah.
So let's get this party started.
I know. I'm really excited. It's going to be fun, man. Just 8 days away. And I should say, with opening day right around the corner, Brock, we want to send one of you and three friends to the game. All you need to do is open the Seattle Sports app, click the Win tab to find out how. Pretty easy. If you don't already have the app, we'll make it even easier on you. Just text the word app, APP, to 866-979-3776, and we'll just send you a link to download it right to your phone. Don't miss out on your chance to join the fun at opening day. The contest runs through Sunday, March 24th. Seahawks signed two more yesterday. How important are they, and how interesting are these two dudes off the field? Stick around. You'll find out and need to know next on Brock and Salk.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, we actually have some breaking news just moments ago, as reported by Pete Thamel. Nebraska, according to sources, finalizing a 6-year deal to make Washington athletic director Troy Dannon the school's new AD. The hiring of Dannon gives Nebraska an immediate replacement for Trev Alberts, who left for Texas A&M last week. And so, what was he here? A year?
Ooh,
maybe?
October?
Just not even a year?
Not even a year.
6 months?
Yeah.
6 months, and a turbulent 6 months, but Troy Dannon moves on from Washington. Brock, what does this mean?
Yeah, that is pretty wild news to me, to be honest with you, is that just hit during the break and reaching out to some people that might be close to the situation, and I'll see what I can figure out. But yeah, that was September. You know, I hired October, right, on a magical run with the football team, a contract in front of Kalen DeBoer after seeing what Alabama paid DeBoer. It was probably not going to happen with his $90 million 10-year deal there, but you know, firing Mike Hopkins. So right now you've got a vacant head coaching job. Yeah, I think topsy-turvy turmoil just about sums up college athletics. And now Troy Dannon right in the middle of it. And what it means is in the midst of a men's basketball search, in the midst of a new football coach, in the midst of a new conference you're going to be joining, well, here's just a little bit more change right at the top of the athletic department.
Yeah, and, you know, when you mention change, it continues to mean people moving out of this job for what they consider to be better ones. Now, you could certainly have an argument about whether Nebraska or Washington is actually the better gig, but the fact that Troy Dannon decides to go there, probably not a great sign for the Husky program.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Mariners lineup has been doing damage. They did it again yesterday. Just ask the Rockies. They gave up 18 hits and 12 runs to the Mariners. Mitch Haniger went yard. Dylan Moore went yard. Multi-hit games for Julio and Polanco.
And a 3-2 to Polanco. Swing on, hit past the diving third baseman into left field. Moore scores. Julio runs through the stop sign. The throw goes to second. Two runs picked up by Jorge Polanco, and the Mariners have a 5-1 lead on Colorado here in the second inning.
France with a multi-hit game. Urias, Zavala, Dylan Moore had three hits. Yeah, they're whacking the heck out of the ball. Scott Servais happy with his offense.
A good offensive day. That's about seven or eight in a row. Just love our approach right now. The guys understanding what we're trying to do based on who we're facing and then sticking with it throughout the game. And not just one or two guys, but up and down the lineup. Everybody buying in, and we're getting great results. You know, Demo continues to have a really good spring training, best spring he's ever had. The consistency, his approach. Polo, a couple more knocks. Ty France, a good day. I mean, Hanny hits another homer. I mean, it's a lot of guys chipping in. Zavala, good day there. I mean, it's about as it's exactly what we're looking for this time of spring.
Yep. See, also Brant Brown. I mean, all they needed was a little comedic act in there. All they needed was loosen these guys up a little bit.
Well, jokes aside, I'll play the Haniger sound later. I mean, he kind of does say that there is something to all of that, that, you know, a lot of this is about the messaging. Here he is.
Yep. I think just doing a better job of explaining game planning and making sure everyone understands it. I think that was kind of, it's been since pitchers have done a really good job over the last, like, you know, I'd say 10 years, but even more so the last 5 years of tunneling their pitches. You have to be really good with game planning and knowing where you need to hunt the zone and depending on each guy you face. And I think in the past, some guys might not have understood it very well. And I think now the language has gotten really good and guys are having a better grasp of what they're trying to do at the plate, which is really helpful.
Pretty cool. And you kind of need cerebral guys to be able to do that, right? And it helps to have some veterans in that regard. And I enjoyed that conversation with Goldie yesterday, or Goldsmith, who joined us. And kind of talked about the difference maybe between a Colton Wong and a Polanco, and to Aaron's point, like, yeah, some of those numbers, as you looked at Colton over the last few years and what he was really hitting and what he was not hitting versus a Polanco that's just a vet and a pro, and when healthy has been unbelievably productive. I'll tell you what else in that Scott Servais cut. We got a Hanny, we got a Polo, we got a Demo. I mean, you know you're getting close to opening day when you're dropping those kind of nicknames on you.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, Seahawks continuing to work to fill out that roster. Brought a couple more free agent signings yesterday. They get a big man for the middle of their defense, Jonathan Hankins, 6'2", 320. A space eater comes in from Dallas. He's a character, man. He's been doing this YouTube podcast, and he was asked, right, or maybe he just decided to talk about this offseason, what he had left.
You know, obviously, yeah, the experience that I have is... You really can't find that. It's hard to find. I won't say you can't find that. It's hard to find. And to, you know, had the year that I had, which, you know, for this year 11 and still playing on a high level, still getting the job done. And I feel like I still got some unfinished business. Still got goals I want to achieve. Still want to win that Super Bowl trophy. So is Hank done? No. Hank is just more motivated, more than I was years previously. And, you know, the goal of mine is to get to the Super Bowl.
So in case you're wondering, Brock, Hank's not done.
No, Hank ain't done. Got the dog barking in the background as well. What is it
the
about
dog
big...
kept barking throughout that podcast too, but he just kept going. He didn't say anything to it.
It's fine.
What is it about them big old men, man, that just survive, right? Whether it was whether it's snacks. Snacks is a character.
Mm-hmm.
How about big old Al Woods? Mm-hmm. He was a character. We got Hank now in the house. He's a character. Yeah, those big guys are weathering a lot of years and a lot of beatings in the middle of that line.
I got a lot of Hank questions for you, though. Those will be coming up Blue 88 here in about 20 minutes. They also add to the safety room. They bring in Kayvon Wallace, 26 years old, fourth-round pick in Philly. Played in Arizona and then Tennessee last year. Done a little starting, done some backing up. Should provide some depth, which they need in that position. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk show. We had planned to kind of do some stuff here, a little game, but I think I'd like to maybe react a lot more to what just happened at the University of Washington. If you're just tuning in, athletic director Troy Dannon, according to reports from Pete Thamel, he's out and on his own accord, he's decided to go take a job in Nebraska. One of the first texts I saw said, why would he fired? He wasn't fired.
Mm-mm.
He chose to leave and get paid. And
you said six-year deal.
What's
being reported?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so you go from like a three-year, maybe $3 million deal to a six-year, I don't know, $15 million deal. Mm. I'm just throwing numbers out there, but and I know, you know, on its surface, and you can say, well, this is not a good sign, right, for the program, but I think it's a whole lot deeper than that, right? I think in these situations that what we're finding and the empowerment of players and coaches and now athletic directors is it's a whole different world. And obviously money drives so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never imagined Salk. In fact, Titus yesterday was playing a team from Nebraska in this tournament down in Arizona. And there were a bunch of Cornhusker football fans. And they're some of the greatest fans there are. When I see them at airports or baseball tournaments or around the country, you know, they just want to talk college football. And I asked them yesterday, I was like, man, Trev Albert leaving? Like, he was your son. He was the one to come back and resurrect.
Right.
And they paid him a ton of money. Well, and then the oil money down south said, yeah, Trev, why don't you come down to the SEC?
Mm.
Why don't you come here and have some of this oil money? And it even attracted him, which then leaves this void, which then leaves this kind of, you know, yeah. So let's dig into this a whole lot more, because I think it's not as simple as, is this just a bad sign for the Huskies and why this AD would leave? There's a whole bunch more conversation to
breaking news out of Montlake. We find out this morning that Troy Dannon, the athletic director, is on his way to Nebraska. Brock will have a whole lot more next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio,
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Breaking news moments ago from Pete Thamel of ESPN. Troy Dannon, the athletic director at the University of Washington, is leaving to go to Nebraska, finalizing a six-year deal. He's only been here for about 6 months, and now he is out the door. Joining us right now for a little more on this story is the man who broke it, Pete Thamel himself. Good morning, Pete. How are you?
Hey, Brock. I'm well. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you.
Pete, how did this go down?
Oh, that's Brock. Sorry.
Pete, I thought that time we spent at Suffolk Downs all those years together meant something to you, but I guess not. That's sad.
Don't worry about it, Pete. You know, Pat McAfee doesn't know his name. We had a guest on the other day that called him Nick or Mick or something.
That really hurt my feelings.
Don't feel bad at all.
I'm going to go to Nebraska here out of bitterness.
Brock texted me, so I just kind of like, so forgive me.
So what happened here?
You know, I think it's pretty simple. You know, Troy Dannon is of the Midwest. He was the AD at Northern Iowa for 8 years, and that's where his family is from. That's where his wife's family is from. And you know, if you grow up in the Midwest in college athletics, you know, Nebraska is a destination. And obviously the timing is not great, right? Like that's a very obvious thing, and that will certainly, I'm sure, be a focus of your calls today, right? But I just think in this era of college athletics, it's, you know, you look at Caden Proctor leaving the portal, right? We're all free agents, and this was an opportunity, from what sources told me, that that Troy Dannon saw as a way to get home to a destination job. It wasn't a slight on Washington as much as it was a slight on Washington's geography, you know? So yeah. I think it's a pretty simple, you know, explanation. I feel like you could do a podcast on like the job of Washington football, which has been a much better job the last 20 years of Nebraska football versus the tradition. You know, the resources are excellent at Nebraska. I was through there right before the draft. I did a Midwest swing last year, and Trev Alberts told me it's the only Big Ten school that does not have any debt. Like, it didn't have a dime of debt. So you think about it, they went through basically 20 years of pretty brutal football, and they've had, I think, five ADs since 07, something like that. And that, you know, people just kept showing up, and you know, they'll be well poised for, you know, for the NIL era, and are well poised for that. And I guess one other thing that I mentioned, and I have a story up on ESPN.com, is that Troy Dannon and Matt Rhule have a relationship from their time in the AAC. Troy's very close to Pat Kraft, who was Rhule's AD at Temple. And they, you know, it's not two strangers. They're not best friends or anything, but they know what they're getting in each other and have spent enough time around each other.
So let me unwind this just with one other little quick question here, Pete. And that is, please, if it's a homecoming for Troy to go back to the Midwest and a place he's awfully familiar, and I know his family very much enjoyed their time in the Midwest. Well, wasn't Trev Albert going home to Nebraska the ultimate homecoming? I mean, how does a Trev Albert leave that job, that place, that home to hit A&M?
And that's it. It's a great question too. I mean, Trev Albert's leaving Nebraska was surprising just because he, you know, like that's such an intertwined part of his identity. And yeah. I think an underplayed part of that Albert story was that he'd only been the AD at Nebraska since 01, but he had spent a while, like a decade ish, as the AD at Nebraska Omaha before that. And I think that's a long time to be in like the same political waters. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill Moose mentioned elected regents the other day. So you got people who, you know, you're dealing with people who are dealing with constituencies there. And so I think some of the politics, and look, like Ted Carter hired Trev Alberts. He left for Ohio State. So I think that decision was as much political and landscape, you know, as it was anything else. So, you know, Troy Dannon gets to go to Nebraska and link arms with Matt Rhule, but there is uncertainty at the presidential level now. You know, we talk about the word alignment. I feel like Nick Saban and Urban Meyer brought alignment into our vocabulary 15 years ago or so. And so, you know, there is, I would say it's uncertain alignment there. I think it's a good point, Brock, that, you know, there is some unknown there.
What do they do now? Because they got to hire a basketball coach too. I mean, like, it's kind of funky timing. What does that search all of a sudden look like?
And I made a quick reference in my story that search, you know, is expected to stay on track with where it was. I mean, Danny Sprinkle's been the sort of presumed favorite in that for a while, and you're probably fishing from a Mountain West pool, right? I think that's what everybody, you guys probably spent a lot more time on Washington basketball candidates than I have, but I would think that's the general pool.
You'd be surprised. I would say you've probably spent more time. I don't think anybody's mentioned Washington basketball in this town in like 5 years.
All right. So if you are a Mountain West coach and you can, I'm just guessing here, 2.5x your salary to get to the right side of the river in a power two, you're probably going to deal with some athletic director uncertainty and take the job, right? Like, that's not going to be a, hey, I'm going to stay at Utah State, Boise State, Colorado State, etc., because I'm not certain who my boss will be. I'm going to get to the right side of the river where Washington is squarely on. And well, I think Washington is a really good basketball job, by the way. It's a tougher basketball job in the Big Ten, but Seattle produces talent. You guys know all the names and your listeners know all the names. So I don't think, look, it is an uncomfortable like moment for that search, but I think that search goes, goes forward without too big of a hitch here. Yep. And I think whenever their target either loses in the NCAA tournament or emerges here in the next week, I think they land the plane. Now, it's going to take a couple more Zooms, right, and some explanations and some plans. And Washington's president Amare has certainly been in the thick of some pretty interesting moments in college athletics here in the past years. She was kind of at the forefront of the Pac-12 stuff, but I don't think this is something where, you know, they're going to have to hire an interim free. I don't think it's debilitating to the search. I think it's an uncomfortable speed bump that gets smoothed over, and they get exactly who they had targeted and want.
Well, Pete, we appreciate it. Thanks for popping on short notice. I'll see if I can forgive the slight at the beginning.
Sorry, Mike.
That's okay. I'll survive it. My fragile ego was wounded, but I think I've been called worse things than Brock.
You guys don't even sound alike.
No.
That's the worst part.
It's not like we're Kevin and Bean. I mean, like, those guys sounded alike. There's not much we can do here. Pete, thank you. We appreciate it. Talk soon.
There you go.
There's Pete Thamel from ESPN. Yeah, I've been called worse things than Brock, certainly.
Sure.
I mean, you got called Nick earlier this week.
That
already.
Was worse. I'd rather be Brock than Nick. 6'5", blonde, wealthy. What a life. I'd like to be Brock Heward. It sounds like a pretty good situation.
Okay, I got an idea.
And we got a lot of texts coming in, Brock.
Do we?
With suggestions.
Yeah. Pete Carroll?
That one's come up a lot.
Has it really?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people saying Pete Carroll for AD. Uh-huh. A lot of people saying Damon Heward. Uh-huh. Brock, why don't they just hire Damon? He's a native mm-hmm. son. He's good at the business, good at fundraising, isn't about to leave for a job somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So Pete Carroll, yep. Damon Heward.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, you hear right there from Pete, family. Oh, according to sources, family. I mean, I just got a few texts, family. You know, I mean, this is not just these decisions, and we look at these guys and these gals in these positions, and we just think, oh, you know, this is their dream job. They're going to be here forever. Or I hope you get those thoughts now out of your mind, especially when it comes to anything in college, unlike the NFL where you have contracts and everything else. But, you know, this was driven by him and his family and his wife and others that just said, you know what, what's going to be a better fit for us and our kids and where we want to be. And oh, by the way, we get 6 years and probably double our money out there in Nebraska. It certainly cost a living and everything else with living in Lincoln, Nebraska versus, you know, Seattle, Washington. So I think when it comes to Troy, that is the central theme and the central thought. As Pete said, I don't think, honestly, Salk, this is like, wow, Nebraska's a better job than Washington. Well, Nebraska's a better football program than Washington. Well, Nebraska, you got a better chance to win than Washington. I don't know, man. That might have been some of our thinking 10 years ago, 15 mm-hmm. years ago, 20 years ago. It just kind of feels like these things are changing. And the money is a huge, huge, probably first and foremost, and always been a huge driver in it. But now they're like, hey, man, this is where I want to be, and this is where I want to live. And I can control and move these pieces around a little bit more as a coach, as an administrator, as a player than I could when we started this show 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think all of that is very fair. There's also just kind of scanning through the text line here.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of folks who are sort of, you know, playing the generation card, being like, you know, my generation, the younger generation, not you and me. This is, you know, the younger
the
folks. The Zers or maybe even some of the millennials saying, hey, my generation's been crushed for not sticking around, not having loyalty, jumping from place to place. Maybe we're not the only ones, and maybe they could look in the mirror. Some of the older folks are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, yep, they are. They're jumping aboard this train, and especially in college athletics. I mean, is the epicenter of it. Heck, high school athletics is as well. You know, the kid that's going to Nebraska, Salk Raiola, the QB. I've told you his story before. Four different high schools. It was a Burleson High School, Pinnacle High School, Chandler High School, finished at Buford High School. He committed to Ohio State. He committed to Georgia, and now he's signed and at Nebraska. I mean, that's all within like 4 years. So this isn't even the college level. You're seeing it with transfers galore at the high school level mm-hmm. too. So yeah, that this kind of freedom of movement, expression of freedom, whatever you want to call it. It would be intriguing if Damon would be a name on that short list. You know, if you want somebody that has been like embedded there, that has worked there for a lot of years, Shannon Kelly's another name that has been there in the department for a lot of years.
How could Damon not be on the list? How could he not be on the short list?
Well, that job is all-encompassing, right? It's not just fundraising, and it's not just football. It is all the sports,
right,
and overseeing
all of it. But for anybody who takes on a job like that, they're going to have strengths and weaknesses, and yep. who you put around them to, you know, should balance out whatever, you know, gaps they have in their resume. Yep. I don't know. I would absolutely support Damon Heward for that job, knowing Damon, not obviously quite as well as you do, just like by a mm-hmm. little bit. But mm-hmm. Damon's a smart dude. He yep. bleeds Husky purple. He would be, I think while he does bleed it, he's also like a rational person who can kind of see beyond a lot of that. Mm-hmm. He's been around this now for so long, handled the business stuff. I think Damon.
Well, it's a little different now because for 6 months he has been right at Troy's side.
That's
so
right.
He was on the plane to Jed Fish's home, and you know, I think he's gotten some background and gotten a little closer to it than he ever did, even with Jen, as he was on the fundraising arm of that. And this was, I think, getting a feel for more of the administrative mm-hmm. part of it. And does he want to do some more of that administrative part and connect with, you know, as you heard from Pete, right? This is still a connection business, right? Connected to coaches, connected to other administrators, connected to other athletic directors mm-hmm. across the country, connected to your president at your university. I mean, there are a lot of pieces, and Pete said it right, man. The University of Washington at the presidential level has been involved in a lot of these yeah. headlines and a lot of these news over the last 9 months.
And then I think you got some other questions about just what it means to get people to stay in this area. It yes. is a challenge. And yes. by the way, it's not just a challenge in sports, although I think it might be a slightly bigger challenge in sports than in some others. And that is one of the reasons I question at times the value of or the position of that job throughout all of college athletics. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get people to stay here.
Yes.
And, you know, I know that from my time when I was in management here. I'm not anymore. But when I was, you know, our old boss, the Silver Fox, used to talk about this all the time. You know, if you hire somebody from the outside, there's a decent chance they're not going to like it here and leave. Mm-hmm. And he was always very wary of bringing people in from other cities, not because they couldn't understand Seattle culture,
yeah.
but because a lot of people don't like it here and they leave yep. and they bail and they don't like the weather. They don't like yep. how isolated it is.
Yep.
And they feel far away from the rest of the country.
Absolutely.
And I certainly
yes.
felt that in my first stint here
yes.
and have now gotten over it. But
if you're older, Sulk, and established, right, and you've yep. you've lived other places and you've experienced other places and you
far.
Have roots other places, it is far.
It
is far from everywhere. You are isolated. It is gray and dark for 6 months of the year. It is unbelievably yeah. expensive, and the cost of living and you know, the schools for their kid. I mean,
the political climate is different,
yes.
right? Whether
yes.
you like it or hate the political climate, whether you lean left or right, it does lean strongly in one direction. And so
yep.
for those that don't lean that same way, it can be a challenge, certainly
yep.
when cable news networks are telling you every day that the city's a pit of hell.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, there are challenges with that situation. So I don't know exactly what this means. It's certainly not good news for the program, but I'd sure like to see Damon Heward as the next AD. That's I'm throwing my hat in the ring, Brock, for Damon.
Okay.
Yep. I support him. He has my in this political climate of endorsements.
Yes.
Damon Heward has my endorsement.
Boom.
How about that? I'm willing to endorse him. I'm willing to go there. Well, let's ask Brock some football questions.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88.
We take you to the field as Brock Heward breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
All right, Brock, three good football questions called Blue 88. Let's start here. We are going to have an extended quarterback conversation, we think, here at 8:30. Rich Eisen joined us yesterday and talked a lot about Michael Penix, who he mm-hmm. thinks will go ahead of the Seahawks pick at number 16. He feels much better about his future than a whole lot of other people do. Is he right or wrong?
Yeah, a couple things that jumped out to me yesterday from our conversation with him. Where he was right, and I'm like nodding along like a bobblehead, is NFL Films is going to love his football. He's got those massive grips like a Carson Palmer. It was definitely a strength of mine. I thought I threw a pretty good spiral back in the day, but even as a dude that could spin it, I admire that guy that much more. Because out of his hand, you never see a wobbly ball. You didn't see it at the college level, Salk, and that portends at the NFL level with the best footballs made on earth and the most consistently and the easiest to throw. That dude is going to rip some absolutely gorgeous NFL Films throws. I disagree a little with what he said in that title game and what that showed the scouts. And, well, maybe Michigan threw coverages at him that he had never seen before, and it kind of blew his wires. No, I really don't think it was anything they did in the coverage standpoint, though they covered incredibly well, including their little nickelback that I know you were very fond of coming out of that game. But more so was the physical. What ASU did to him when you hit him and you hit him and you hit him, that will continue to be the question. Not just even about sustainability of health, Salk, but just, hey, man, how much does it disrupt him even more than others when he faces some of that contact? So that's where I didn't want to necessarily push back on Rich and say, no, that wasn't like disguise of coverage. It was really difficult. It wasn't, man, so hard to read and react. It was, he was getting hit, and it really impacted his accuracy as it did in a few of those other games where he was getting hit. Wazoo and ASU, and those games where throws he doesn't normally miss were missed. Why? Well, because of some of that contact, and that will be the narrative that he's going to have to answer moving forward.
All right, question number two. Seahawks make two moves yesterday. They bring in a nose tackle, essentially, right, in Hankins, and then a safety, backup safety in Wallace.
Yes.
Is this helping us figure out what the heck they're going to do in the draft yet?
Yeah, I think a little bit, Salk, and especially with Hankins. I was just looking at some of the draft preview, just in totality of the group. And you know what this year's interior defensive line has? Bunch of really athletic, like 290 pounders. And I'll keep coming back, and we'll spend more time, and we'll preview guys here. I'll give you, I don't know, Salk, probably starting next week. We'll do maybe an every day or close to it every day, 20 different guys that I'd love to see be a Seattle Seahawk. And a few of them are going to be these athletic defensive tackles. Kid out of Michigan, Chris Jenkins Jr. That's an unbelievable guy, made of everything you want. But he's a smaller frame at about 290. Kid out of Illinois is the same way. Guy out of Florida State the same way. You know what Hank is?
Huge.
Hank's a big old man.
Yeah.
Like 330 pounds, big old dude. You know what McDonald had at Michigan? You know what he had at Baltimore? Space Eaters, big 330. You know what you don't find of in this draft? Other than Mason Smith out of LSU and certainly Tavondre Sweat out of Texas, you'll find a lot of that bulk. So, again, I think it leads to them making this decision in free agency, a one-year deal here. Let's fill this gap because we're not going to find a lot of those body types in this upcoming draft.
All right, question number three. Just kind of looking through this free agent market, anybody else standing out to you as possibilities?
Can I give you one Seahawk that
that's
been out the door that still unsigned?
Sure.
It's not Quandre. I saw some little scuttlebutt on the old social media realms yesterday about some reports, and he was firing back, and I don't think Quandre is going to be back here. There's still some possibilities, maybe a linebacker.
Jamal Adams
back as a linebacker only? Is that outside the realm of possibility with a new staff and a new regime? And they certainly know that body over the last 4 years and the injury history associated with it. And, well, if there's really nobody else out in this market that's willing to take a swing, we know Mike McDonald in his past has taken swings at veteran guys and gotten a lot of production out of them. And, by the way, a couple of those veteran guys, I believe, are also still out on that market, and Clowney and Van Noy. And, you know, as you get closer to and through OTAs and everything else, not as a safety. Safety's accounted for. Taken, you know, there's a safety I really like, two of them out of Utah that I could see in the mid to late rounds as well. So safety, I think, is off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker still in question. And in this draft, if you don't find a linebacker and Jamal Adams is still out there and unsigned and is willing to play that, I don't think that's 100% off the table.
Very interesting. All right, that is today's Blue 88. Let me also remind you guys, opening day right around the corner. Want to send one of you and three friends to the game. All you need to do is open the Seattle Sports app and just click the Win tab. Click Win on the Seattle Sports app, and you'll find out how you can win these tickets. If you don't already have the app, it's pretty easy. Just text the word APP, APP, to 866-979-3776, and we will just send you a link to download it right now. Don't miss out on your chance to join the fun at opening day. The contest runs through Sunday, March 24th. A lot of commentary on whether or not Seattle is indeed a pit of hell. I noticed none of it comes from the 206, so I'm kind of curious how everybody's so confident they know what Seattle is like, living in the 509, the 253, etc. A lot of 206 writing in about
that. Well, there's no question, man. The cost of living the coast is different.
Yep.
It's just, it's on both coasts. But you know what? Where there's not like really esteemed football up in New York and Boston and some of those areas where the cost of living is extraordinary, where the cost of living is extraordinarily high. I don't know. In the Bay Area, if they struggle with football and keeping coaches and everything else, you know, where the cost of living is extraordinarily high. At USC, at Washington, it's harder, man. It's harder.
Sure.
And as you mentioned, just some of the dynamics that are real, that are on the table here. And if I'm raising kids and families, you know, you've got young kids, you're going through the schooling aspect of it. Oh, and by the way, sitting in traffic that is a little bit different than traffic in other parts. I mean, all of these things make it a more challenging environment for an outsider.
Yep.
Someone that's been here, someone that's lived with it, someone that knows it, doesn't maybe know any different. Like, hey, this is what we do. This is how we live, man. Of course. And by the way, June, July, August, September, you're not going to find a more beautiful place in the world to live than the Pacific Northwest. But it isn't for every outsider. Mm-hmm. And I think you get a little bit of that feel with some of this transition from the coaches, from the players, from some of the movement of personnel.
Pretty crazy.
Text line's hot, though?
I mean, of course it is. You bring up something politics adjacent like that, and sure, the text line gets hot in a hurry. And
Come on, Chris Peterson.
You want Chris to do this job?
Well, it's the same challenge there, right? And I think it would be the challenge with Damon. I think it would be the challenge with Pete Carroll. I think it'd be the challenge when anybody puts those names up there, like, hey, you know, now you got to commit. Now you got to be up when the sun is up, and you got to be, you know, working when the sun is down. Like, it's just like any job. You know, if you're University of Washington, you want to find somebody that's going to work 15 hours a day, 6 days a week, and devote their life to it. And is that something that Pete Carroll at 72 wants to do? Is that something that Chris Peterson in his mid-50s wants to do?
But you can do the job in a lot of different ways. If Pete Carroll were to take this job and they wanted him, I'm not saying anything like that would happen. But he wouldn't do it the same way.
You bring Belichick as his deputy AD.
Right. No, but he wouldn't do it the same way. Pete would be there to build culture and empower the right people to do the jobs that they need to do and to be the figurehead. I mean, like, it would be a completely different, type of doing that job. So let's see. I got 541 chiming in on Seattle. More 509 chiming in.
360?
Nobody from the 206.
Nobody from the 206?
Surprising. People that live in Seattle don't seem to have that same problem. Very, very interesting how that goes down. All right. I mentioned opening day a couple of times. Brock, we are sleeping on a big story, and we have not mentioned it, and shame on us, and I intend to do so next on Brock and Salk.